Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Errol Lewis of the New York Daily News, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. There was good news for internet users in Long Island this week. The Nassau and Suffolk County executives announced details of a major plan for free or cheap wireless internet throughout the island. The project would be bigger than any municipal Wi-Fi system in the country and would extend to beaches, parks, and residential areas. Joining me now to look at the impact of Wi-Fi in Long Island, or Li-Fi, I think we coined that when we were putting this together this morning, and to see if it might lead to a system for New York City, is Andrew Ruscha, a longtime advocate for city wireless service and a former candidate for public advocate. Andrew, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Errol.
So will Long Island internet users be able to get their internet for free when this rolls out?
Well, if it's built the way they're currently planning, Long Island is a perfect location for it. There's pretty flat, a lot of low buildings, a lot of infrastructure already laid in place in terms of municipal facilities that could support a Wi-Fi transmitter. So it's as good a location as any in the country to try it.
And it would have such a wide reach, as it's described. It would be bigger than any existing citywide system in operation right now. How did they pull off that kind of a coup?
Well, I think that it's the first county countywide project that's been announced. There's been a number of cities around the country that have started and embarked on this process. And they're obviously taking advantage of the fact that a lot of efficiencies come with this kind of service, not just the fact that people get lower cost access to the internet, but that also government agencies, the reading of meters, the way police investigate crimes, how social services are delivered, etc., could be made more efficient, less costly by putting in a wireless network.
How did they get this past Cablevision? I think of them as a very large vested interest in continuing to sell cable-based access.
Well, I actually don't think they got it past Cablevision. In fact, one of the potential problems with this project is that Cablevision will lower its pricing for broadband so that people will not want to sign on to the new project. There's nothing preventing wireless providers to compete with the incumbent broadband providers in any given market, whether it be Cablevision, Comcast, Time Warner, or Verizon. But in the past couple of years, wherever there's been announced programs for wireless networks, very often the incumbents lower their pricing in order to react and stave off anybody competing with them. And then once the projects are killed, then the prices go back up.
Competition, imagine that. Andrew, you made your name for a lot of our listeners when you ran for public advocate on a platform that included bringing municipal Wi-Fi to New York City. That was a couple of years ago. Has there been any progress on that idea?
Well, the city does have a broadband committee that was formed between the city council and the mayor's office that's currently studying the entire broadband infrastructure of New York and making recommendations for potential legislation to increase competition and to make sure that some businesses that currently can't get broadband are eventually served, and that certainly low-income and working-class people could start to afford access to the internet. Because as you, I think, well know, Errol, at $30 or $40 a month, close to $500 a year, at that price, it's beyond the reach of most working class New Yorkers to be able to get their families and their children on the 21st century, economy. But the city itself has not announced any specific program to build a Wi-Fi network, except for the fact that the city did announce a $500 million wireless network to be used only by city agencies. And it's not Wi-Fi. It's a slightly different technology that the city gave a contract to Nortel to build. And the intent there is to enhance communications among the police and fire department and other city agencies. So they made a first step. The fact that the public's not included in it, I think, is a little bit of a lost opportunity. But It's baby steps that the city's taking, and we'll probably see some major initiatives once the committee finishes its report and concludes that we actually have a crisis in New York because we're so far behind.
Well, what is the rationale behind free Wi-Fi, meaning people could, with a computer, get online almost any place in the city?
Well, let's make a separation between free and low cost, because some of the programs that have been announced in the country are free and some of them are low cost. And when I ran for office, a lot of people thought I was talking about free Wi-Fi. I really wasn't. I was simply trying to make the case that Verizon and Time Warner were gouging New Yorkers and not really providing the city with the services that it should get for letting those two companies use our streets to deliver their company's services. And so the idea here is that we all know that the internet is now a major part of our lives and that it's changing the way business is done and the way education is going to happen in the future. High school students in New York, for example, many of them now to apply for college can only do it online. So the idea here is that the wireless network saves a lot of the time and the cost associated with running landlines into people's homes and into people's businesses, and that you can reach a larger community by creating, in effect, a mesh cloud over the city that can be connected to for internet access, but also for phone access, and most importantly, Errol, for homeland security. You may have heard that in Minneapolis, right after the bridge collapsed, all the cell phones stopped working because they were all being used at the same time, and so the system could not keep up with capacity. And Minneapolis is actually building a wireless network right now, and the administrator of that network immediately opened up the wireless network that had where it had already been installed and made it available for first responders, and citizens started using it to make Wi-Fi calls using Skype and other voice over IP applications to make phone calls. So there's a potential for Wi-Fi to be used for more than just getting people online, but actually to make us safer. And what we just discovered with the New York City mass transit system, because of the rains last week, shutting down not only the subways but all communication about the subways, we need to really start thinking about alternative secondary means of communication for emergency purposes.
Is it a big enough issue that the federal government might get involved and maybe turn this into the 21st century equivalent of the interstate highway system?
Well, I always like to say that politicians have BlackBerries, but they don't have any vision. And at the moment, I don't see any leaders on the federal level that really completely embrace the notion that we need to move our country from the 20th century to the 21st. And it's still very much incremental. But there is federal money for Homeland Security that can be used to build these networks. And there's an opportunity, I think, for municipalities all across the country and for New York to tap into Homeland Security money to build wireless networks. And this is a very important point I'd like to make, which is that the notion that most city leaders and administrators have is that they're there to protect the public and that the public doesn't have any role in protecting itself. And what we've learned from London and from other incidents around the world is that people with cell phones, people with digital cameras, the eyes and ears of citizens and the eyes and ears of New Yorkers can be partnered with to help make the city safer, to identify problems, mm-hmm. infrastructure okay. issues, to communicate in the event of an emergency.
That's all the time we have for this topic, Andrew.
But thank you very much for inviting me.
Andrew Roche, an advocate for the use of technology in government. Thanks for joining us. Coming up next, the things you should do before you have children. Stay tuned.